dead, torn, moist.
Proudly sponsored by stms.studio for all your merch and printing needs.
Proud patron of Ian's Chain Charity, helping to save lives together.
Hey, hey, hey!
How's it going?
Hello! Welcome back! What a nightmare that was, honestly. I can only apologise. For my listeners out there, last night I did an interview with this great band and the file, when I went to download it afterwards, had corrupted. So I wasn't best pleased. And I've even got a backup today. I've even got my other microphone that you can't really see, but that's there recording nicely just in case it happens again. So you don't think to do that. I used to all the time. But then after like a good run, I was like, okay, no problem. And when you've done about, I've done about 180 interviews, so I've never had a problem. But anyway.
Yeah, you get lured into a false sense of security and then bang.
Yeah, absolutely. And so for those that don't know, who are we with?
So I am James. I am the lead guitarist of Brighton-based hard grunge rockers Stone Angels.
Yeah, well, it's not very many times, you know, that a band will spend two nights on the trot with me. So at least you've got that to tell everybody. So, yeah, so absolutely. Is Sam coming tonight or is he got...
I'm afraid he's busy today. So you just had to put up with little old me, I'm afraid.
It's okay. Last night we had Sam land in the plane with his headset on, which was quite funny. But obviously we can get you back and we can do another one at some point with all of you or as many as we can.
That'd be great.
That'd be mint, wouldn't it? Bless him. Mm. Right. So in terms of festivals and stuff, I know we chatted last night about it. Where do you want to play?
Oh, where don't we want to play? So obviously the big mecca in the UK, which is Download, Bloodstock, Rockwitch, you know, there's so many festivals out there that are just great. So like Stone Dead, for example, is a great grassroots one. It looks like they got a great lineup this year. You know, it's like a golden age for good festivals in the UK, if you ask me. There's so many all about the place. You got Takedown Festival down in Portsmouth. That's got a pretty insane lineup this year as well. You know, I could really just keep going on and on about festivals. I'd just be very happy to play.
Absolutely. I mean, yeah, like you said, there's a lot of festivals out there supporting grassroots, which is incredible. I think that's really nice that bands are given the opportunity, you know. Bands with no management, any band can really get on a festival lineup. They just have to know how to do it and who to contact. I mean, that's the hardest part, isn't it, in the industry?
Yeah, no, exactly. That is who you know is what I've learned from being in the industry.
Absolutely. And there's nothing worse than applying and not hearing anything back, even if it's a, you know, unfortunately haven't been successful this time. I think like anybody, you know, you fire all these emails out, you at least want a reply just to know that you've got that open conversation, you've got the way in, so to speak. No, you don't even get like a Dear John these days saying, yeah, you know, we're sorry, yeah, but it's been filled, something like that. You're left hanging for weeks, aren't you? And kind of what point do you want to give up? Your brain tells you don't give up, you know, hopefully I'll hear something, and then you don't hear something, and it's really upsetting, isn't it?
Yeah, I can fully sympathise, but I can also see it on the other side of the fence, because I put on Brighton Pride's first rock metal event called Pride Rock. Wow. And so, you know, it's like, for example, this year it's going to be 8 bands on the bill, but we've had over 100 applicants. So, you know, it's wonderful to have that much interest in the event. And I am going to try and make sure that we are going to respond to everyone. It's just obviously it takes a bit of time.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I put on a metal festival once and, you know, hand on heart, every band that applied, I took, you know, even if I listened to the track for like a couple, maybe 30 seconds, I give each track 30 seconds. I didn't listen from the start. I like skipped in, listened to every single track that they submitted. And it took me about a week and a half to get through everything. You know, every evening I gave up listening and it was quite fun. It was really nice. And there were some bands there where I was like, wow, I cannot believe you're new to the scene and look what we've got. So you just hope that although you've applied, you keep them on file or you then say, I'll tell somebody else, because it's word of mouth, isn't it? That's how.
Yeah, definitely. And like, it's so easy to fill up a lineup and still have so much talent left over. So it's you know, there are definitely people that we're considering that won't necessarily be able to make the cut this year, but we'll still be thinking about them for the next years because that's
absolutely. And bands drop out all the time, you know, circumstances change. We're in an ever-evolving world where personal lives can take, you know, they can change at any point, personal circumstances. So just because you haven't got on a lineup doesn't necessarily mean that that's the be-all and end-all because they can get that call, can't you?
Yeah, no, definitely. You never know when you're going to wake up to an email that will kind of change your fortunes, as it were.
Absolutely. And you mentioned last night you're good friends with Massive Wagons.
Yeah. So we originally kind of crossed paths in Southampton playing a gig with them in the Joiners. This was, I think, about 2016, give or take. And yeah, it's just been phenomenal watching them kind of grow over the years. They've just exploded, which is great because, again, you always hear these naysayers saying that, you know, rock is dead. But, you know, they just, those people who say that never bother to look at actually what's out there at the moment because I think it's a really inspiring time for a lot of great bands coming through the ranks. And yeah, so Massive Wagons are one of the ones in my eyes that are leading the charge at the moment.
Definitely. Them, South of Salem, you know, there's a lot. And they all seem to be, you know, South of Salem are down your neck of the woods, aren't they? They're from Bournemouth.
Yeah. So just a little bit to the west of us. But yeah, no, not too far away.
I like that. Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously Stoke-on-Trent has had a few famous people, but like I said last night, they don't hang around here. They kind of, you know, you either grow up here and don't stay in Stoke-on-Trent or you kind of visit Stoke-on-Trent. That's just the way it goes in Stoke.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm not a Brighton native. I immigrated down here because my folks they lived in the countryside in Hertfordshire, which was a wonderful area to grow up. But there was just no stimulation for like music creativity out there. So I was attracted to the bright lights of Brighton and the fact that you can walk down any of the main streets in Brighton and you'll come across at least half a dozen different music venues that are just playing music any day of the week. So it's almost sensory overload for a music lover.
No, I feel like I'm going to go on Rightmove in a minute and have a look because you've just sold that to me. You should be an estate agent.
Well, I used to work in property, so yeah.
Oh, well, there you go then. You know. I mean, that's the thing. Obviously, I live in a little village, so there's not a lot. And even in the city, Stoke-on-Trent, it's not 24 hours. It's not bustling. You know, I had an interview this morning. I spoke to someone from New York City and they were saying that their life is 24/7. You know, if you want a pizza at like 1 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, you can go and get one. Here, Deliveroo don't even come and visit me. It's a bit sad.
Yeah, no, it was quite a big moment for us when Deliveroo started delivering McDonald's to our area. So.
Yeah, I bet. It's ace though. I mean, the world's ever evolving, just like the music scene is. And like you said about when people say, oh, rock's dead, they clearly haven't been listening to the up and coming bands. I think they kind of, you know, the old AC/DC, everything back in the day, they're fixated on that. And actually, music's gone a different way. Through that, yes, it sounds a little bit similar because we've all got influences, we've all got, you know, musicians that we really pride ourselves on being like. Every bit of music is different, no matter what. You know, they've all got riffs, heavy. I love my riffs. Like, yeah. I absolutely love anything melodic. So if you could play me a riff that's melodic, you know, you'll just hypnotize me for a while. It's great.
Yeah, no, it's great. As you say, talking about AC/DC, they obviously, like, you know, it's great to be influenced by them. They obviously were influenced by people like Chuck Berry, like Angus Young pinched the duck walk from him. And, you know, it's the evolution of the sound, so which is wonderful. Again, and, you know, it's with rise of technology as well, it's a lot easier for a lot more musicians to kind of bring their creative ideas to life, which is pretty cool.
Yeah. Absolutely. I really enjoy discovering new music. And I think a lot of it is the older generation. So maybe they don't know how to discover the new music. You know, not everybody is on like Spotify. Not everyone has access to that kind of streaming service. So whereas I just put in what band I like and go onto Song Radio and kind of through that, we'll then discover loads of other ones. There's quite a lot of older guys that I've spoken to that don't really know where to start with it. They think that just by going to a gig, that's how you do it. But you've got the radio, you've got music channels, you know. Unfortunately, Kerrang's just gone, which is a shame.
Yeah, R.I.P.
Yeah, R.I.P. Kerrang. I mean, Kerrang was a massive staple. That and Scuzz, when I was growing up, I'd whack it on and I'd be like...
I exactly the same. I used to have Kerrang on TV like for like hours on end straight. And there was a time in my teenage years that I had at least several hundred issues of Kerrang magazine just piling up in my bedroom.
I love that. I love it. And do you know what I used to do? This is dead sad. I used to have my little remote control, my little square telly in the corner of my room. And every time Kerrang came on with a song I liked, I used to record it on my VHS player on my little video. So you just got like loads of I might try and find them and sell them. It'll be ace. The amount of like little, and I think you've got a little commentary off me as well, talking about it. It's crazy. Those were the days, weren't they? Kerrang, yeah. Followed by Jackass. And my mum and dad, they wouldn't let me watch it like after 10 o'clock. So you know what I used to do? I used to scribble it. I coloured in the standby in black permanent marker pen so they wouldn't know that my TV was actually on.
That's very crafty. If mum and dad are listening right now, I apologize.
Honestly, sorry mum, sorry dad, they probably already know. I bet they were like, that's just one of the crazy things that she did when she was growing up. But you know, again, I think that's where my thirst for the music came, because I was just like, wow, there's so many bands, you know. And it's got to be visually stimulating for me, performances. I really like it when there's so much going on the stage, you don't know who to look at, and, you know, it's like a performance, isn't it, rather than just a show.
Yes, no, I really don't like it when I go to a gig and the musicians are standing still on stage. You know, just like the fact that there's a genre called shoegaze, which basically like there's good songs within the genre, but it describes what they're doing. There's no incentive for me to then go see them live.
No.
Where, you know, AC/DC put on one of the best live shows, Rammstein, you know, you name it. These guys are just. In a joy to watch.
My favorite band's Nightwish. So for me, yeah. You know, during lockdown when they put on their shows, they were like the live stream. It was amazing because they just basically did everything they do on the stage, and it was all, you know, it was a performance. It was It's theatrical. I love that element of like what's coming next. It's just, it goes so well with their music.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. You know, speaking of lockdown, it was incredible to see how many bands were doing cool things like that during it. So, like, one of my personal favorite bands, Clutch, were doing their live from the Doom Saloon, which is their big rehearsal space, and they were doing their own shows through that as well, which I know a lot of people were enjoying, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of things came from lockdown. Obviously, there were a lot of sad things that happened. Many people lost lives. You know, mental health became an absolute nightmare for a lot of people, and there was a lot of people that still haven't recovered. And it's nice though that they've got that stuff online to be able to look back at and go, look how far we've come since then. And it was lovely just to see everyone clubbing together. It was like, okay, let's put our creative minds to one thing and let's just provide the music. And yeah, okay, it's not as good as the real thing and experiencing it with your friends, but what it did bring, I think a lot of people kind of discovered a lot more artists.
Oh, definitely. It was the only real avenue of the music industry that was still active was streaming during the lockdown. So absolutely. Yeah, a lot of that was the only way for artists to really kind of potentially reach a fan base. So obviously, as you rightly pointed out, a lot of bad things happened during the pandemic, but this was one of the few silver linings, I think, that it really helped nurture a lot of creativity for a lot of artists.
Absolutely. And I think getting back after COVID, you know, there was that uncertain time, wasn't there, where it was lockdown, not lockdown, lockdown. No one knew whether they were safe to go out. People were still like, you know, I can only describe it like a dog when it snows. They kind of want to go out, but they don't. They kind of in and out, in and out. And it's cautiousness, and I can understand that. And it's really nice to see that bands have got new fans prior to lockdown, because they discovered them, and what stories that the fans are telling the bands, you know, oh, you helped me through this situation. I mean, Thea, a local band to me, they wrote a song. I work in the NHS. They wrote a song called Blue Hearts, and that was dedicated for the NHS. And when the band said to me, you know, we had you at the forefront of our mind when we wrote it, I was just like really taken aback, like that people came out and rallied round for us all.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Yeah, no, I remember hearing Anne taking part in all the clapping and the whacking of the pans at 6 o'clock, whatever it was, in the evenings.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I remember coming home from a long shift because I got redeployed onto critical care to look after some really sick patients because I'm an airway specialist. So for me, it was like, you come home, I couldn't see my family, and I drove up my road and all my neighbours were out clapping, and I got out of the car and they were just like, this is for you, Joe. And I just went in and like broke down. I was like, I cannot believe, you know, that they've got that much respect for me because we were just doing the job that we've always done.
Well, that's wonderful to, you know, that's wonderful to hear. But yeah, so moments like that, and hopefully we won't experience another pandemic.
I really hope not. Honestly, I really, really hope not. I mean, I hope if I could have a couple of wishes, I hope that every band out there, you know, makes it onto the scene and gets the same level of support that, you know, the bigger bands are getting, because a lot of people are self-managed these days. And it, like I said earlier, it's really tough just getting into the circuit. So if there's anyone listening out there, please take a second for all the bands that are trying to get through. Please don't make them go around the back and knock on the door. Just open the window and give them a shout and say, all right, you've got the right email address, not at the minute, but come back, you know, in a year, or, you know, it's just having that contact, isn't it? Point of contact.
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's, you know, little black book of contacts can go a long way.
Yeah, honestly, I mean, I'm lucky because I've met so many people through my journey through music. I mean, early days, I was touring with bands, and you haven't always got time for people. So I was like, oh, just add me on Facebook. And it's really, really nice to see how many people that I've still got from early days on there and where they are in life. They've pretty much made it, some of them. And it's like, I knew you when you were in this band. Or like, you know, I was looking through the other day and I've got like Scar Symmetry guitarists in there. And I'm thinking, okay, how have I got you? And when I realized, it's probably because they were in a previous band and then they've made it, you know, they've made it big. It's really good, social media in that aspect for networking.
Yeah, no, it definitely is. Like the amount of people that, as you say, I've met through various music events, and we're now just keeping in touch and kind of keeping tabs on each other on Facebook.
Nice. So what do you want to achieve this year?
So this year, well, we got our new record dropping on the 22nd of March, which is called Up in Smoke. And the kind of the goal from releasing this album is to basically give us an excuse to tour as much as possible. So we have something to push. We're aiming to at least do a couple of stints up and down the UK. We're playing Station 18 Festival in Wales. So looking forward to that.
Okay.
Yeah, it's going to be a great night. We're going to probably try and go for the whole weekend because it's a great lineup.
Well, it's just O'Neill PR. I mean, O'Neill PR bands on there. It's great. It's really, really nice to see.
Yeah, no, so Wes was basically instrumental in getting us onto that event. So thank you, Wes.
Big shout out to Wes. I know he doesn't like being mentioned, so I can only apologise, but big shout out, Wes. We really appreciate you.
Yeah, no, he's a hard grafting guy. He's a good person to have in your corner. But yeah, no, like on top of that, like there's so many iconic grassroots venues across the UK that I absolutely would love to play. So you know, you got like the Horn in St Albans, Wedrooms, you know, Electric Ballroom, Underworld, Pink Tuts. You know, I could just keep going on and on. I basically want to kind of do the grassroots bucket list, you know, just tick every.
But you said last night you want to do Camden Underworld as well.
Yes, definitely. That there was a potential opportunity for us to play it in March, but unfortunately, I was unavailable for the dates. So hopefully, fingers crossed, something new will come up for that venue.
Absolutely. And my friend Arno, he is a promoter at the Carton Horses, like I mentioned. You know, the birthplace of Iron Maiden. So that's pretty special, that place. So Arno, if you're hearing this, you know what to do. Just get them on. That was my little puppet. That was. It wasn't me. I'd make a rubbish ventriloquist, wouldn't I? But you know, it's all about opportunities, and I think there's so many opportunities out there. You've just got to kind of go find them, find other bands to play with. You know, and who knows, you might even be able to put your own on down. You already do Pride in Brighton. Why not put your own on and invite a few of your mates down?
Yeah, no, I've done that in the past, and it's probably like we're trying to sort out a venue to do a launch show for the album. So it might be a case of putting on getting a few friends bands involved in that, and just making a big night out of it.
That'd be ace. And I can't wait. And if I can get down, I will try and get down. I mean, Brighton's quite away for me and it depends on work shifts and stuff. I have to sacrifice so much of my time. But I think the main, another point I want to raise is, you said earlier you had to turn it down because you were unavailable. I mean, how dare bands have lives outside of the band, you know? I mean, you already sacrifice holidays because how dare you go away for a week in festival season and all of a sudden you're unavailable. You know, I bet for you, you really feel bad about planning stuff because you want to be available just in case.
Oh yeah, no, it's a tightrope. It's a balancing act because obviously you want to spend time with families, you know, and stuff like that. But also simultaneously want to play as many gigs as possible because being on stage is one of the best euphoric experiences that I can describe. That, you know, there's nothing quite else like that gives me the same adrenaline rush as a good gig.
You still get nervous when you go on?
Yeah, it's weird. It really depends on the show. Like, and it can even be like the bigger the show, the less nervous I am. But the but then when I'm playing a small gig for whatever reason, it feels a lot more exposed. It's hard to describe because one of the big venues in Brighton that we've gotten to play is the Concord 2, which is right at the seafront. Beautiful, iconic venue. It's about a 600 capacity one. And I'd wanted to play this venue for at least a decade before actually getting to it. So the day when it arrived, we were supporting Skindred. And the second I walked through the doors to load in, I just had this eerie, kind of strange sense of calm. Like, you know, I was just happy. I was just
like, it was home.
Yeah, I felt like the prodigal son had returned, so to speak. I was just so happy from start to finish. There was no kind of nerves or anything like that. And if I could replicate that for every single show, that'd be wonderful. Because again, on the flip side, there are times where you kind of almost get into your own head, and every musician will have this, that they'll question, are you good enough to be on stage? You know, like you can get into your own head a little bit, but you've got to just try and learn how to kind of talk back to those voices and say, well, I've done this before. It's great.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think there's pressure on making sure that your fans really enjoy what they hear, and you want to put on that show. And despite what's going on in your personal lives, you know, we all have lives outside of this. And, you know, you could have had a really bad day in the office and you've come out and you kind of, you know, it's occupying your headspace and it's really difficult to try and get yourself there. And, oh, I've forgotten a chord or I forgot this. It's really difficult. And I think kudos to any band that gets up there, no matter what they're going through, whatever they're suffering from, to go out and be able to do that, because a lot of us would lock ourselves away. And to be in the public eye, you know, constantly, it's really difficult, isn't it?
Yeah, no, it definitely takes a lot of energy at times. But like I say, that, as you say, musicians are human. They have ups and downs like anyone else. But yeah, no, it's. But the great thing is, at least from my experience, is even if I've had a bad day, the second I get onto stage, provided, you know, the intro for the first song goes well, I'm normally feeling great from that point onwards. So as long as we haven't, you know, mucked up the intro, I'm fine. And then we're, you know, I've left the bad vibes on the side of the stage.
You know, it wasn't until I started doing my podcast, I like being in that headspace. So, you know, I have 5 minutes before I come online and I just think about things, you know, cleanse my mind. And it's the same with bands, when people don't see them, when they go to a gig and they're like, oh, where are all the members? Why aren't they out here talking to us? Because they're having the same time. They're having a bit of time out, getting themselves in that headspace. It's really difficult when you're in that headspace, isn't it, to then be able to chat to people, because it just ruins your kind of zen. You want to get in the best headspace possible, give yourself a fighting chance to, you know, get through your gig.
Yeah, no, definitely. And because we like to have a very energetic performance to our shows. And so by the end of the gig, it's not only physically, but it's also very mentally draining. We'll feel great, but it might be we might struggle to string a sentence together because we're just so mentally depleted. But
yeah, and you're the driver as well. I know you said last night, Sam's dad drives.
And yeah, and Niall's dad, Brian, up until recently, was one of our main drivers as well. And so yeah, so they really helped ease the burden on me because I'm the only one with a driver's license
yeah.
otherwise.
I mean, you know, that just itself, you know, from Brighton, wherever you go, you're pretty much looking at a couple of hours at least. And
Yeah.
you know, the further on the gigs are, the worse it's going to be for you because you have to drive back. So, guys, if you haven't seen them hanging around after, we all try, but just get, don't, instead of slagging bands off saying, oh, they haven't waited around, how do you know that they haven't got 6 hours to travel? You know, because I tell you what, when I go to gigs a couple of hours away, I'm there on the headline band thinking, I don't think I'm going to stay for the last song because I need to shoot off. You know, you've always got that kind of thing in your mind going, I need to go, I need to go.
Yeah, no, it's like, how many encores do they have?
Yeah, it's like, well, you know, I set myself a goal of what song I want to hear them play, and it's usually your favorite song last. So you're like, okay, great, I'm gonna have to really just cut back on this one. But parking as well at gigs, you know, the other guys that don't drive probably won't understand how difficult it is to find parking spaces.
Especially when you're driving a huge van that has, like no rear sensors or anything like that.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I drove my car once with a mattress in the boot, and I couldn't see through my rear view mirror, and it was dangerous. And I was like, I could never do this. I felt lost without it. You know, I was like, my central mirror's gone. I don't know where I'm going. I kept looking out my other mirrors. But in a van, you haven't got that, have you? You're not
Yeah,
able to.
you've only got the wing mirrors, and so yeah, whenever it's a case of parking, because I'm always worried about, damaging someone else's car or anything, I always have to shove Niall out the van to say, just keep waving, tell me how close I'm getting
Yeah,
to the other car.
absolutely. And when other, you know, other band members can have a drink, you know, you kind of feel, obviously, when I drive, I don't drink anything because I don't, won't even have a shandy because, you know, I just think it's not worth the risk, is it? Once you have
Yeah,
that one, you
definitely.
might want another one. So, and it's always like, oh, you're all having a drink and I'm just stuck here. Just get quite monotonous after a while, doesn't it?
It does. But I have to say, thankfully, as I say, Sam's dad, David, he, as long as we give him enough notice, he said he'll happily, step in and drive. So
You can have
it
a couple.
means that, yeah, I can have a couple with the promoter at the gig and stuff like that,
Yeah,
and
and you know, it's quite demanding just having that focus. You know, when you've got so much going on after a gig and your head's all over the place, to have to sit down and go, I've got to drive, and the roads aren't in the best condition, and you've got other people to think about, and you've got a van full of gear that's expensive, you've got people in the van that are precious. And there's that huge pressure. You know, when I'm driving on my own, I'm fine. But when I know I've got passengers, you feel extra responsible for them, don't you?
yeah, definitely. I always take extra care when I've got anyone else in the car.
And me, I absolutely do. You know, it's like the lights as well. I don't know about you when you've driven on like some of these roads. Some roads haven't even got lights on these days.
I know it's especially I say I grew up on country lanes, so I'm used to driving in the dark, and it's just amazing in the amount of times that deers have just like sprung
Yeah.
out right in front of the car, or badgers or whatever.
Headlights, no. The headlights these days, some of them are absolutely ridiculous. Like you come around a corner and you're just dazzled.
Oh
And
yeah, the LED ones. So you're just blinded by them.
so if you're listening to this and you've got stupid headlights in your car, guys, right? I want you to go out there and I want you to turn them down. I want you to get some less bright ones because think of us with our little delicate eyes. Honestly, I've got home before and I've got a lot of headaches because of the lights that you've had coming in your eyes.
Yeah, and
Awful.
I definitely can leave those kind of like sunspots that you get when you've just been staring at them too long.
Yeah, absolutely. And I tell you what, sometimes you're driving through and you can't see it, you can't see a thing, can you?
No.
And all the different conditions that you have to drive in. And obviously, I mean, you mentioned about the Concorde too. And when you're walking into there, sometimes the sea spray could be coming over and it's windy and it's right on the edge, isn't it?
Oh yeah, no, it feels like you're right on the edge of the world, going to the gig, because it's right on the beach. And as you say, on a summer's day, it's a wonderful walk down there. The sun's shining, seagulls are trying to steal donuts out of your hand, and you get to the venue. But the rest of the year, when it's winter time, it feels like the heavens open up and it's gale force winds and
Your hat's
rain.
gone.
Yeah, and you know, it feels like the rain's coming at you horizontally rather than vertically, so there's no way of shielding yourself from it.
I bet those in France, right? I've got listeners in France. Tell me, have you found any of the caps that have been lost from Brighton? I bet they just, you know, they're down on their beach, and all of a sudden these caps are going, oh, look at that. There's a band hat. What's that? Be ace to see what you can find. Bet there's loads of like caps floating in the ocean.
Oh, yeah. There's plenty of lost casualties out there.
Absolutely. You mentioned as well about wanting to go abroad to play. You've got family in, was it Finland?
Yeah, so the in-laws are based in Finland, and you know, for anyone who's not familiar, Finland has one of the best rock metal scenes in the world. Yeah, I think they have the highest number of heavy metal bands per 100,000 people in a population than anywhere else in the world. So they know how to party, and they have so many great festivals on there. There's one in particular that I'd like to play called Q-Stock, which is up in the city of Oulu, and it's a big festival, but it's actually quite a small condensed arena area. And yeah, it's just they always have great bands in there, like Michael Monroe, Skid Row, stuff like that come in. They had Massive Wagons. You know, it
Now,
looks like
tell me
this.
about that. When Massive Wagons played, who was down the front?
Oh yeah, so basically, yeah, so I tied my summer holiday to go see them out there, because when I saw that they were playing, and no one really knew who they were, so there was, other than my other half and me, there was pretty much no one else in the crowd for them. So thankfully, well, I say thankfully, so Barry was very kind and gave me more shout outs than I've ever had in a gig. He's like, you know, James, this one's for you.
I like that. That, do you know what though? They're such a personable band. I absolutely love how far they've come. They played Rockwich back in 2017, I think we saw last night, with the likes of Mason Hill, you know, Knockout Kane, and some other bands. And it's really nice that we had them back there. I mean, Cliche and Mick, who run Rockwich, are incredible. They've got such a knack of getting the bands just as they're about to make it and, you know, break through. And then a couple of years later, you're like, oh, look, you had them when they were just at that level. I mean, you know, there's a skill in itself for that, because I hope that one day I can get the same bands on. I look at my podcast and I think, oh, how many of these bands are going to make it? You know, it's great.
Yeah, no, it's always cool when you get to see bands that you know you followed for a while, and you can see the transitions that they're doing in terms of their status. So, like going back to Massive Wagons now, they're at the point now that Barry can take an inflatable dinghy and go crowd surfing.
Yeah, I mean, that's incredible. You know, imagine some of the up and coming bands these days, it probably get to the first row and then just take a plunge, because you know.
Yeah, so we're building up our crowd base, so we have enough rows in the audience that we can maybe attempt something like that in the near
I'll have
future.
to just take some planks of wood and just, you know, use them, get them to carry it on some wood.
Yeah, just do an AC/DC and get a roadie to give me a piggyback while I play a
Yeah, I
solo.
like that. I like that. So obviously your new album's coming out soon. What can we expect from that? I bet it sounds pretty good, doesn't it?
Yeah, so we're really happy with how it came out. One of the big things that we were trying to achieve from this is that we wanted to sound like a bigger band than people would expect us to be. Because again, you know, with so many great, you know, bands, our peers out there at the moment are just writing phenomenal music. The one thing that I think a lot of them don't focus enough on is the production side of it. So we were really fortunate to work with a guy called Mike Krompas, who is a multi-platinum producer. He was in the band Smash Mouth. He's played with Elton John, Steven Tyler from Aerosmith.
Wow.
You know, you name it. He's got the platinum discs on the wall. And so we went up to his studio in Barnsley, which he shares with Lee Malia from Bring Me the Horizon. And he basically just made us sound like we should already be playing stadiums, which is wonderful, because I think that's, you know, it's the subtle differences in terms of having a great producer and having, you know, a good producer. You wouldn't think it makes such a difference, but it does. So thankfully, like, we got to work with him, and he's just made us sound mega. The album itself is quite a this one is quite a personal experience for me, because as I said, the album's called Up in Smoke. The artwork is a burning house, and the reason for that was back on the 7th of November in 2019, my house burnt down while I was inside. Yes, so this was just before the pandemic struck as well. So I was in a bad headspace as a result of the fire. And then, yeah, the pandemic happened. And if I had the additional money, I'd have probably gone to a therapist. But I used the lockdown to really kind of challenge myself to write about the experience. So the title track itself is all about the event and the aftermath and how it was probably the darkest time of my life. Like, thankfully I don't have an addictive personality, but it's probably the closest I could have ever been to becoming like an alcoholic.
Wow.
But thankfully we've just been able to talk it out, and, you know, support of family, friends, and my wife and bandmates, you know, I was able to kind of put pen to paper and leave it all out on the song itself. And actually Niall was very kind and he actually let me sing the song for better or for worse, just because it as a, such a personal experience, such a raw song for me. And so hopefully, at least anyway, hopefully people like that song.
Wow. I mean, I'm getting goosebumps just thinking about it, you know, to go through that, that's pretty life changing. And, you know, all the stuff that you have to deal with after that, all your possessions, everything gone. And you know what? There's going to be a lot of people that are listening to this and they'll probably just go out and buy it anyway, you know, just because the reasons behind it. I think it's got such a poignant place in your life, and kudos for still being with us as well, because obviously it takes you to places that perhaps you wouldn't have been before, and you know, it's new ground, you don't know where to get out from. So thankfully you're still with us, you're still cracking a smile, and you know, you're doing something constructive with the, you know, the burden that you carry.
Yes, and as I say, it was one of the things that helped me as well was that I learned that, you know, it's not weak to ask for help, which, you know, is something that I always try and push on to anyone else who, if I feel like they're, you know, I might feel like they're struggling. I just say, you know, I'm here. If I might not be a paid trained psychiatrist, but if you just want to chat, I'm here, kind of thing.
Likewise, absolutely. I always say that. If ever anyone needs to reach out, you know, I'm always a message away. Absolutely.
And like, I also we paid tribute in the liner notes of the album to the East Sussex Fire Department for their incredible quick response time. They managed to put out the fire very quickly and save the majority of the house, which I'm currently sitting in at the moment now, so it's all being rebuilt. So yeah, no, it's like the NHS during the pandemic. It's like the fire service, you know, we're very fortunate to have these available in this country. And you know, so you never need them until you need them, really.
Absolutely. So we always think it's never going to happen to me, and then lo and behold, you know, that happens. It's crazy, isn't it? I mean, yeah. You know what, James? Thank you so much for spending another night with me. That sounds wrong. But, you know, if I can do anything to help you out, I absolutely will. I'm going to really push your album and I'll spread the word. And hopefully at some point in the near future, we'll get you back on. We'll see how you're getting on. And yeah. From there.
Yeah, no, it's been a pleasure to spend two nights with you as well.
Thank you.
I'll try and make sure that we have more of the band involved as well when we come back on.
Hey, listen, no problem at all. I appreciate you're all busy. You've all got lives, you know, after last night as well. Poor Sam. Big shout out to Sam, the pilot man. He was landing the plane for us with his little headset. Cabin crew seats for landing. That's just for you, Sam, that is. Just a little shout out. But yeah, stay in touch, please. And I look forward to chatting to you in person. I think you're an incredible person. And I look forward to your album coming out.
Yeah, and hopefully we'll see you at the gig soon.
Hopefully. Yes, definitely. And you keep going, doing what you're doing for Brighton Pride as well. Absolutely fantastic job.
Well, thank you.
It's okay. Take care.
Take care. Thank you.
Bye.